Welcome back to the Thermo Diet Podcast. I'm your host, Jayden Miller, and today I have on the podcast functional nutritional therapy practitioner, Travis Harris. So Travis, I found originally on Instagram, and he has a great Instagram page. He has a really cool website. He does one-on-one coaching, so if you're interested, make sure to give him a look. In this episode, we talk about the individualization of eating and listening to your body, the rate of living theory versus the bioenergetic theory of health. We talk a little bit about the first 1,000 days of life and proper child nutrition. And then towards the end of it, we also talk a little bit about psychology and some different strategies that are out there in terms of helping you align your psychological health with your physical health. So I look forward to you listening to this episode, and let's dive into it. How's it going today, guys? Today I'm here with Travis Harris. How are you doing today, Travis?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Jayden?
I'm doing very well. So for the listeners out there who might not know who you are, do you mind kind of giving them a background?
Yeah. So I guess my, official working title is functional nutritional therapy practitioner. I got certified through the Nutritional Therapy Association and kind of went a little my own direction through discovering the work of Repeat and bioenergetics. And I work with clients one-on-one, and we work on restoring flow of energy through the body. And that looks different for everyone. So.
Awesome. How long have you been doing that?
I've been working one-on-one with clients for about a year now.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. And you said that you've been kind of in the realm of bioenergetics for almost a decade now?
Not bioenergetics, working on my health for about that long. I don't know. I've probably been into Ray Pete's stuff for about 3 years now.
Okay. Awesome. So what part of it do you enjoy the most, I would say?
Oh man. There's so much, variation, and it's kind of, a combination of a lot of things I'm interested in. So I like how the understanding of metabolism and bioenergetics, how that kind of plays out, as like a fundamental kind of layer of reality, like, the whole interplay of structure and function. It's just a fun, thought experiment. But then, it's also super rewarding to be able to work, one-on-one with people and then help them, understand their bodies, understand what they need, understand that they can, live a life free of, a lot of, restrictive diets that kind of keep them down to a certain way of living. And I just enjoy helping people find a new way that's sustainable, a new way of eating that they can just continue forever and not have to, binge or fall off the wagon and hate themselves.
Definitely. You talk about the individualization of eating and listening to your body. Do you mind kind of going into that and why certain things might be different for other people?
Yeah, well, I think everyone I see is usually caught in some kind of cycle of stress. And, where we intersect that cycle of stress is going to be different for everyone. Some people are severely allergic to certain foods. Some people have like major, microbial imbalance in the small intestine. Some people have, a lot of people have severe thyroid hypofunction. I can't diagnose anyone with hypothyroid, but I call it thyroid hypofunction. And then some people are just like not eating enough. And, I help people kind of understand like, okay, well, when your hands and feet are freezing, that's an adrenaline response. You probably need to eat something with protein, something with salt, something with carbohydrate. And, because everyone's coming at it from a, you know, a different set point, I can usually help people find foods that are safe, you know, and probably because I know what it's like to not have any safe foods and kind of dug myself out of that, that hole on my own. So I know, like, okay, like, you know, marshmallows, gummies, you know, that may be the only thing you can eat for a little bit, you know, with gelatin and the anti-inflammatory protein glycine within the gelatin, and simple carbohydrate, whether that's sugar, whether that's honey, whether that's juice, to help restore metabolism.
So. Awesome. What are some of the highest leverage factors that you see pretty consistently whenever you're working with people?
Biggest levers, I mean, sleep is obviously huge, but then once you kind of go down into looking at sleep, you got to figure out, like, okay, what, like, why is this person not sleeping? Is it because there's like some kind of mineral imbalance, or is it because, you know, they're just not eating enough calories throughout the day, or do they need a bedtime snack, or do they have a bunch of other stressors in their life that are contributing to them not being able to calm down and get into a parasympathetic state? So yeah, sleep is huge. A lot of people are eating foods that are hurting them. So like I used to, I was like very much like gluten intolerant, but didn't want to be one of those gluten-free people. So I was like continuing to, I used to work in a wood shop, and they had like free bagels and beer at the end of the day. So I was every day eating like, you know, two or three bagels, having two or three beers after work, and then always in pain, and then just pounding Advil. So I see a lot of people that are just like kind of stuck in that, they're like, oh, I don't know what to eat. Everything hurts me. So yeah, so sleep, eating foods that really like support you and not tear you down. And then a lot of people come into it with like different ideas, like, oh, I need to do intermittent fasting, or I need to do keto. So yeah, just understanding like it helps to have a balance of macronutrients. Like you actually need all three of them. So yeah, I think those would probably be like the top three levers.
Nice. So one of the things you talk about is like the rate of living theory versus the bioenergetic theory. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of go into what those two are and how they're differentiated?
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny. I guess the rate of living theory was kind of popularized by a guy named Raymond Pearl. and then the bioenergetic theory is kind of popularized by a guy named Raymond Peet. So the rate of living theory is kind of what a lot of people in the fitness world or the biohacking world, or most diets, and even probably the allopathic medical system, is kind of based on like you only have a certain amount of heartbeats. So a lower heart rate is good. You need to be like look at athletes, you know, they have a heart rate that's 40 beats per minute. And then, you know, they kind of have this idea that, you know, that will lead to, you know, a colder body, and they think, okay, well, that's fine. Like, you know, 96, maybe we should make 96 degrees Fahrenheit the new like average body temperature. You know, maybe the less calories we eat, the longer we'll live, because there's all these, you know, studies that are like, you know, caloric restriction leads to longevity. You probably know this as well, but, you know, for the listeners, any study that shows like, you know, methionine restriction or even caloric restriction as like increasing health or longevity, all of that, if you just add in glycine from like gelatin and bone broth and collagen, those kinds of products, you'll see the same effects, that you were seeing from, like muscle meat restriction or, caloric restriction. So that's kind of the rate of living theory, you only have a certain amount of heartbeats. You need to be in a cold body. You got to, you know, preserve. And then the bioenergetic theory is in a lot of ways the opposite of that. So it's, you know, we're focusing on a high rate of metabolism, and we're focusing on, you know, a heartbeat between like 70 and 90 and a warm body that's like flowing. So the, I guess like the technical definition of bioenergetics would be kind of the study of the transformation of energy in living organisms, and then how that energy changes. And so focusing on higher body temps, higher metabolism, and what that will do in the body, like you can rest your gut all day long by fasting or eating a low residue diet. But without the flow of energy to the cells in your gut, you're not going to heal your gut. And that's what I had to realize the hard way was that, you know, I could eat all the, you know, raw meat and oysters and, you know, easily digestible animal foods and, you know, without carbohydrates and, you know, raising that metabolic rate, there wasn't a whole lot of healing happening. I was removing all the challenges, but not actually getting stronger and moving towards the directions, a direction where I could eat more food. I guess that, you know, does that answer the bioenergetic and,
Definitely. Yeah. For me, like the rate of living theory is kind of like, the reason that it is unappealing, because whenever I'm old and kind of wrinkly, the last thing that I want to be is freezing to death and barely able to move.
Exactly.
It also kind of reminds me of the abundance mindset versus the mindset of scarcity.
Oh, cool.
And you're kind of looking at that from an energetic perspective. Like, you can either produce a bunch of energy and have an abundance of it, or you can not produce that much energy and slowly degrade the amount that you're producing.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Did you see, I haven't watched all of it, but the latest like long, like 7-hour interview.
I was watching it last night. I got halfway through the first one.
Yeah. That's about where I'm at. But he was talking about how, and I'm also reading The Body Electric, which is a really interesting book, but he was talking about how, you know, there's a electromagnetic field, you know, coming out, you know, a few inches from all your tissues, so like your skin, and the resonance of that electromagnetic field reflects the metabolic rate. So, I mean, there's definitely something to like being an energetic person, having like the proper flow of energy through the body. I don't know. It's super fascinating. Just the whole interplay of, you know, structure and energy. I think it was Pete that said, structure and energy are interdependent at every level of organization. So you can take that from organelle, cell, tissue, organ system, organism. And then I'm sure it plays, you know, beyond the individual organism, because we're all, you know, emitting some kind of a frequency. You know, I don't want to sound like a total quack, but like it's happening. You know, whether we realize it or not.
Definitely. I can't remember if I want to say it's Dr. Joe Dispenza who is kind of taking measurements of these, but it could be somebody completely different. It's where like whenever you have high stress hormones in the body, the kind of like amount of space that electric field takes up will shrink, and it'll come in towards the body. And then whenever you have more protective hormones, it'll expand and kind of give you like a wider breadth of energy that you're emitting, which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. That's what reminded me whenever he was talking about that.
Yeah, it's super fascinating.
Definitely. So another thing that you talk really well on is the first thousand days of life whenever it comes to conception of a child and then possibly up to where they're 2-3 years old. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of talk about that and maybe some ways that we can properly feed our children?
Yeah, totally. Well, the first 1,000 days, I think, is from conception to around 2.5 or something, if that makes sense. Yeah, two years old, something like that. Obviously, like, preconception is hugely important. And I think there's a girl on Instagram. I think you had her on your podcast before, Lauren.
Yep, Lauren.
Yeah. So she's amazing at understanding that the preconception and fertility and all that. For men, I mean, it's not going to get much better than liver and oysters, and then improving the metabolic rate through easily digestible carbohydrates and getting enough protein and all that. So, like, I think it's just as important for the man to be in a good spot, preconception. And then, that was one thing that, really led me towards diving fully into, the world of nutrition. It was like my wife got pregnant a few years ago, and, I was like, okay, well, how do we make a, a decent baby? I wanted to make a super baby. But I was like, okay, how do we just make a kid that's just like not sick all the time? Cause I'm looking around and seeing all these kids that are just so sick. And, so I think it's like critically important, to understand that like a baby is made of like the nutrients that the mom has. And, so like you have to make sure that the mom is getting everything she needs, and keeping the flow of energy through the placenta, and what it's like 10% of the minerals that the baby takes from the mom, and then the last trimester there's like a massive transfer of nutrients and energy from the mom to the baby. And, critically important to have easily digestible carbohydrates, I'd say at least 100 grams of protein. And that should be animal protein, because some of the vegetable proteins are not as bioavailable. You're not going to get what you need from like almond flour and, pea protein. And then nutrient dense foods like liver and oysters, I think are great, for that time. I like raw milk. I don't think it's like necessary for it to be raw for everyone, but, I'm a big fan of it. And then, you have the baby, and then, ideally, the mom has been supported enough to where she can breastfeed for, at least a year or so. And like, obviously no shame on anyone that can't, do that. But like, ideally that's where you'd be supported enough to do that. Even at, breastfeeding out, through 2 years and beyond, I think is good. And then, obviously like when you start to introduce solid foods to your kid, I think the Weston A. Price Foundation has some decent stuff. Like, I don't recommend cod liver oil or anything like that, but I think, eggs, like runny egg yolks are usually great. And this is not medical advice for anyone listening. runny egg yolks, a little bit of liver if you can, and, whatever's, easily digestible carbohydrate for them. So it could look like stewed apples or mashed potatoes. But really just making sure, like, kids love this way of eating. And they'll, like they usually, they'll only eat like what you put in front of them. If they've never had goldfish, they're not going to be screaming for goldfish. So, yeah, we always just like, you know, set the food in front of our kid and, he gets to decide how much of it he eats. But we decide like what he's eating. But yeah, I mean, yeah, those first 1,000 days, that kind of sets the tone for kind of the rest of your life. I mean, I think you have like a few different times throughout your life where, like pre-puberty is also kind of important, because that's when some real like epigenetic switches are being, you know, turned on or off. But yeah, that, in that first 1,000 days, you're kind of flipping, different epigenetic switches, for your kid. And, you want like the best expression of the genes, for your kid, to set them up for a life of health and, you know, function.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that's one thing that, is very important. And I think it's one thing that people don't really take enough time to really investigate whenever it comes down to it. So I really appreciate you putting that information out there. What other kind of things are you diving into right now? What are you interested in?
Oh man. I've kind of like been exploring, a little bit more of like what, you know, because we talked about that, like the bioenergetic theory being kind of a fundamental layer of reality, kind of been exploring different ideas of how that plays out in relationships, or how it plays out in communities. And, you know, even I was just went down a rabbit hole of like bioenergetic architecture. So, yeah, I don't know anything about Egypt or anything, but, you know, besides like a few Joe Rogan podcasts, but even the pyramids, I think it's pretty well established that they were like conduits of energy, and there's some electrical currents and fields going on just based on like the structure and then the materials that made it. So that interplay of energy and structure is just, it's really fun, and there's a lot of different areas you could take it. it's just so fascinating.
Definitely. What was the book that you mentioned earlier?
The Body Electric.
Okay. Another one that I really recommend kind of along that field is Healing is Voltage.
I haven't read that yet.
Yeah, that one's another really good one that I'd highly recommend.
I'll write it down.
Awesome.
That's why, I mean, so if we're going to want to go down that route, you know, that's why stuff like acupuncture is, you know, people find a lot of benefit in that. People find a lot of benefit in all kinds of different healing modalities, because at the end of the day, it is a matter of improving the flow of energy through the body. So I focus on doing that nutritionally. I think that's, you know, a pretty good foundation, but for some people it's going to be releasing trauma. It's going to be doing I think you had I didn't watch that episode, but you had Lauren and Teresa on there, and Meg Langston. But Teresa does a lot of good stuff with the EFT, like the tapping thing. I think, you know, whatever strategies you can implement to get into a parasympathetic state, going to improve that flow of energy through the body. But yeah, it's just cool that there is so many different ways that people have found to really like heal and feel good.
Definitely. The more that I tend to look into the somatic experience of the body, and the health of the body, the more that I tend to hold weight to psychology and just the well-being of the mental state of the individual. One thing that I find really interesting is like suppression and repression of certain experiences. So whenever something is suppressed, it's at the conscious level. So you can actively suppress it. Whenever something is repressed, it's subconsciously like buried. So you're not aware of it. That's kind of where my interest is right now, is like, how do we uncover those states that are stressing us out without us even knowing about it?
Yeah.
And then how can we overcome that as quickly as possible?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I mean, I know there's a lot of, there's a lot of different strategies people use, and they're kind of called like different things in different communities. So like, I know some people are really into like NLP. And then there's different like different Christian communities that do, something kind of similar, to where you kind of like go back and you kind of get in like a really like relaxed state, kind of view some like traumatic memories and kind of like reframe them, or like see yourself like kind of moving through that. Or let's say you have like basically like a movie like playing on repeat in your subconscious, and as some like traumatic memory, and trauma can be, anything super serious. Like our bodies and our minds will kind of like place different emphasis on different things based on like who we are. So for trauma for one person could be, baby games for another person, but you could have, you go back and you look at some of those memories and kind of reframe them and see, that wasn't, I had support then, that wasn't that bad.
Definitely. Do you have any tips for like where someone would start with that?
Oh man. I mean, I think like, I'm not like a master like at like meditating or anything like that, but like taking some time to ask yourself those questions of like, okay, where, what is something that always like brings itself to like out of nowhere, and like what are my triggers, like what causes me like anxiety, or like what are conversations that I tend to shut down, basically just exploring your triggers and kind of leaning into them, and then if you can get into somewhat of a meditative state, like it doesn't have to be super crazy, but just relaxing and like closing your eyes and then thinking about, okay, what are my triggers, how did they start, when was the first time I was triggered in this way, and then seeing if you can just kind of talk yourself through it, or if you have like a friend that you can express those things with, that's always going to be good too.
Definitely. I think the biggest thing in my experience is making sure that I nurture humility. So to know that those things that are triggering me are most likely myself, not exactly the other person.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
And then journaling is always good. And I always like to do handwritten journaling versus typing it. I think the interaction with matter makes it a very novel experience. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it will be half a page, sometimes it'll be 3, 4, or 5 pages. And depending on the state that you're in, I mean, it could come very quickly or it could just take a minute, but something will come out. Mm-hmm. So that's been very beneficial in my experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Sweet. So where can people find your work and stuff that you're doing right now?
Well, I'm on Instagram, Travis Harris, FNTP. And my website is travisharrisnutritionaltherapy.com. That's pretty much it. I mean, I'm on Facebook, but I don't use it.
Sounds good. Well, I really appreciate your time. Thank you for hopping on here. And everybody listening, make sure to go give him a follow and check out his website.
Yeah, it was great talking to you, Jayden.
Have a good one.
You too.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit the like button, subscribe, and leave a comment down below if you want us to cover a different topic.